Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have lots of people we want to thank today. There would be no show without the likes of Jim K. Ford and the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team, along with our Patreon members, Tony Zane, Jimmy Fada, got Henry Backer, Bill Grease, G-Money, Marcus Von B. We've got Mark D. that we want to thank, Matthew from Blackburn, Hamlet, Burnsy 79, Kevin Waghorn, along with Martin Peddle, Mike Ennis, Randy Spence, and Retro Mags Brian. Thanks to all of you and all our Patreon members.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome. I don't know why I'm saying. It is Steve and Jimmy once again on the SWP. I hope you're having a great week, and thanks for dropping in. Lots to get to here in the course of the program. Bob Cole passing away. The Leafs in full meltdown mode. Oh, my God. It's a rite of spring. James, how are you today?
Yeah, it's good, Stevie.
Yeah.
I'm good boy. Yep. Loving the playoffs.
Yes.
I don't know if we the last show we did, we do it on Sundays now. I guess the playoffs probably started, yeah, more than a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
I just love it, Stevie.
It's good.
Sitting down. You know, I watched a good overtime game last night. The Islanders and Carolina.
Yeah.
It's just the best. It's just the fucking best.
Well, it's like a different sport.
Yeah.
I mean, totally the regular season's like a nice, cute little distraction. I mean, it's good. It's still very, very good. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, the thing goes on for about 5 months and it bears no resemblance to the intensity, the care level, the physicality, the emotion, the excitement of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, not even close, you know, like the regular season games, not anyway, I'll give you a 6-second rundown, Stevie.
Uh-huh.
Of my bets.
Okay.
You know what, Steve? I got sucked in with Russ. You know, to say, Russ, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna bet 50 a series.
Right.
Okay. And so right away, I picked the Rangers and I picked Carolina. So, however, they're like 4.5 to 1 favorites, those two teams. Okay.
Right.
So, just to explain it, folks, if you bet 50, if the Rangers lost, you owe 4.5 times the money you bet.
Ooh.
Okay. You're into 200 here, Steve. I might have overstepped a little bit, okay? However, it looks like the Rangers are going to win. And Carolina, they lose last night, but they're up 3-1.
That's right. Then
I get sucked in, man, by Russ, okay? He goes, well, Jimmy, I'll tell you what. I don't follow it that much, but if I had to pick 3 or 4, you know, I'd go with the Leafs, I'd go with Dallas, and I'd go with Vancouver and the Rangers. I'm like,
yeah.
Why? And then I realized they're the fucking teams he played for. Right? So it's the sucker bet of the year, Stevie, going, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, that says a lot. That really put that you used to play for those teams. I read all the shit, Stevie, the last couple of days. If you didn't know what was going on in the series, okay, if you read everything yesterday, clearly, the Leafs lost 4 straight games in a row.
Right.
Right. Right. They got wiped out, Steve. They got annihilated. They never scored a goal. And they gave up 8 every game, Stevie. They gave up 8 every game. Nobody tried. And it just got worse and worse. Clearly, Stevie, that must be the case if you read the comments from the idiots. Okay, Steve. I don't know what you think, but it's like, holy Christ, guys.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is, Stevie, they talk like the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay, are playing against the Peterborough Petes. You know,
true.
It's like, You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I guess they were about a 1,000-to-1 favored to win this series.
Right.
It's fucking Boston, man. They're playing Boston, right?
Boston is the favorite in the series for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no question. You know, there's no question about it. You know, it just,
I just find it weird to be like you're saying, you're saying it in jest, of course. The series is still going as we're recording this podcast episode. Right now, Boston's up 3-1 and the Leafs have struggled for sure. But it's like all over the place, I'm seeing eulogies, and this is the last time we're seeing this team together. You can't run this back anymore. It's like, whoa, still 3 games left. You know, you still could do it. It's possible. And I hate to defend the blue team, of course. I've got a blue team elimination watch all loaded up, ready to throw in the faces of Leaf fans. But you know, you can wait. There's no real hurry, and there's eulogies happening all over social media today, and abuse. Paul Bissonnette, who works with your pal Wayne Gretzky on TNT, I think he's fantastic. By the way, there might not be an analyst. I know he's a goofball. Yeah. He does the spit and chiclets thing, and I know he's crude and everything. But I still love listening to him. I'd love to see Hockey Night in Canada get their mitts on him and have him work there more often. But anyway, he just ripped Mitch Marner to pieces. And I thought that was as badly as a former player could rip a guy like Mitch Marner that one could even imagine. And then former Toronto Maple Leaf Jay Rosehill got loose on Mitch Marner on his podcast earlier today. Listen to this beatdown.
Okay.
I look at Mitch Marner and the breakdown on some of his shifts, and all I can think is, who do you think you are? Are you too good to stop and start? Are you too good to get back into your fucking position? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Are you too good to try? Do you expect everything in your life just to be given to you because your daddy has told you that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread since you were 5? Who do you think you are? I watch these shifts. You want $14 million a year to play, and this is how you show it? You just expect everything? You just expect everything? You expect everything to happen? You expect everything to be given to you, you chicken shit.
So there's former Leaf Jay Rosehill. We'll hopefully one day get a sense of how he feels about Mitch Marner for real. Yeah. Oh my God. That was, that's as badly as I've ever heard a former NHL player beat up an existing NHL player.
Way, way over the top, dude.
Totally.
Way over the top. Settle down.
Yeah.
Settle down. You know, half of that is bringing in your family. Right? Bringing in you and self-entitled, spoiled, because your dad and all this shit, the guy's way out of touch, you know?
Well, his dad was a piece of work and is probably still. There was actually, I think it was a CBC documentary a few years back. It's at least a decade old when Marner was still a kid playing AAA hockey in the GTA. And his dad, I don't know why he allowed this to go out on air, but they mic'd him up during his son's hockey games. And he's saying, "So help me God, Mitchie, you better fucking start skating." And this is in public at the arena going out on national TV. So his dad's a piece of work. So I think that's where the dad stuff comes from.
Yeah. Like I get it. If you're sort of doing it tongue in cheek, right. But this guy sounded like it was personal.
Right.
You know, it sounded like it's personal. Anyway, settle down, dude. Settle down. You know,
yeah.
If I'm Mitch Marner, I'm like, you know what? Get the lawyer on the phone.
Right.
Get the lawyer on the phone. Yeah. You want to play big time there, pal? You know, I don't mind it, Stevie. Like we've always said, you know, just to your point about Bissonnette, right? That's what you like, you know, that's what you do like. But you don't need to go bananas, man.
Yeah.
Talking about the kid's family life and all this shit, you know. So he may be sending a retraction, sort of.
Right? Yeah, it got personal.
You chicken shit, he's calling it. That's harsh, man. That's me saying that, you know, and I'm harsh. But
yeah, that's a former Leaf, but he, you know,
we should keep in perspective that Jay Rosehill's career couldn't hold a candle to Mitch Marner's so far. And yeah, there's been a couple of soft moments, no doubt about that. But, you know, everybody's talking about the leadership of William Nylander now. He missed the first three games. We're not sure exactly why, but came in for game number four, and they had one of their worst games of the season. But people like Nylander and everything, but it wasn't that long ago Nylander was considered to be soft, ducking out of plays in the playoffs. And people are mad about Austin Matthews right now, too, because he left in the third period of that game four with some kind of undisclosed illness. And so in lieu of having any facts, Leaf fans, go a little bonkers saying, oh, my God, you left in a key game because you're ill. Come on, suck it up. That kind of stuff.
If you listen back to that clip again here, you know, the way this guy's talking, okay, the way he's talking is that the deficit of the, you know, down 3-1 is 100% on Mitch Marner's shoulders.
Right.
That's the sense of what he's saying here, you know, this and that and the other thing. It's kind of stupid. You know, the other thing, Stevie, about all those takes that people are having about the Leafs, if you went to these people before the series started, speaking of betting, and you said, is there a possibility, first of all, that the Leafs could lose this series? Stevie? What?
Sir, hang on.
James, what's going on?
Oh, that's weird.
Sorry, earlier when I played that clip, I realized that I hadn't shut off the audio that I was recording. And so I recorded a bit of you and me at the end of that Jay Rosehill clip.
I'm going, am I hearing an echo? But the echo's coming back saying different words.
That's so weird. I should have left it go. See what your brain break.
It's gone through an AI thing and it comes back with you saying something different. If you had talked to, you know, before the series started, you said, okay, is there a possibility the Leafs can lose this series?
Right.
Right. And anyone with any sort of knowledge at all would go, 100%. Mm-hmm. 100% they can lose. Right. You're going, okay, so you're not going to bet anything that there's no way they can lose. Okay. The other one is, could they lose 4-1? Right. And someone go, they could.
Sure.
Right. They could. Yeah. Yeah. They're not playing the Peterborough Petes.
No,
they could. Exactly. They could lose. Could they lose 4-0? Yeah, but yeah, Boston's pretty good, right?
Really good.
Boston's pretty good. There, you know, there's tons of 4, 5, 6 game losing and winning streaks. You know, so it's kind of ridiculous. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. It's a, you know, the playoffs are a tough road to hoe, but I'm looking at it this year, Stevie. To me, and there's a, you know, can any one of those teams win the Stanley Cup? Maybe just those two teams that you would say, no, you know, they don't have a chance, I guess, is Washington seems to be a little light. And the Islanders are kind of the two, you know. The rest of it, though, are you betting the farm on one team coming out, beating them? No. Would you bet that the Jets are going to get wiped out? Not a chance. They might.
No, although Colorado is my, you know, because at the start of the playoffs, I had Florida and Colorado making the Stanley Cup final. And it's funny, a lot of people shied away from them just because they had tough first-round opponents. At the Hockey News, where one of my 19 jobs, I'm one of about 50 people who work at the Hockey News, and I was one of only two people to take Florida, for example, because people, when they do these hockey pools and these predictions, they're really nervous about the first-round opponent, and everybody, of course, thought, Florida, yeah, they're a great team, but so is Tampa.
Right.
So it's so far so good. I was really, I'm surprised that Colorado is doing what they're doing to Winnipeg right now. I like Colorado, obviously, because I picked them, but I thought that would be a very tough series, but I sure love Nathan MacKinnon. That guy's, you know, when you talk about a Mitch Marner, the guy gets points in the regular season. That's a good thing, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, the guys that get paid are guys like Brad Marchand and guys like Nathan MacKinnon, who have that extra tier in the playoffs. When it turns into a street fight, as it always fucking does in the playoffs, those are the guys you want, and those are the guys who should be getting the big money, not the Mitch Marners, who have value. They're good, soft skill guys. Like Phil Kessel almost won a Conn Smythe trophy as a soft skill guy, but because he was insulated with the Crosbys and the Malkins and guys who played the game with edge, it was okay.
Right.
But if you load up on that soft skill like the Leafs continue to do, you're done for.
Right. Right. Well, I look at my Oilers. Right, and you're bang on when I look back, when I think about it. you know, it's a, you know, where everyone goes, you can't win a game with just two guys, you know, you can't win a series. And then, you know, people look at it and go, well, the Oilers might.
Yeah.
You know, you know, how about you go with the three of them and look at what they're fucking doing? Hyman, Connor and fucking Dreisaitl, right?
Yeah, but you've also got Kane and Nugent Hopkins. Like, you've got a good top six going on right there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But to, again, to your point, the, you know, the Gunners are the guys who got to show up.
Right.
You know, the Gunners are the guys who got to show up. So Edmonton's doing a great job, you know. And, you know, the other one, Larry Leaf fans, is you can't take anything away from Boston, okay? You can't, no. You know, this is where, by the way, not only players rise, but coaches do, you know, coaches do too, Stevie, where they go, okay, boys, it's all about the shutdown. You know, it's all about the shutdown, man. Okay. We got our Gunners. We got all that. We got, you know, but we need the shutdown. Right. And that's, you know, that's all coaching, right. To look at this and go, okay, how are we going to try and play Boston or Boston saying, sorry, how are we going to play Toronto? And they're doing a hell of a job, you know. They're doing a great job. They're making guys yell and scream at each other on the bench, you know. It's like, I'm sure the coaching staff is looking over with the Cheshire grin going, I told you that would work, you know? Right? You know what I mean? So, anyway, relax, Toronto. Relax. They could easily lose.
Yeah. Yep. And the Leafs did try to, when I talk about hard skill versus soft skill, they did try to address the lack of physicality. They bring in Tyler Bertuzzi. They bring in a guy like Max Domi. They brought in Ryan Reeves. But it's just, it's got that. And when I say hard skill, I don't mean you're going out and starting fights or you're going out and thundering guys. When I say hard skill, it means when it gets, when you lose the time and space and guys are out there ready to maim you, it's how you manage things in the tougher world of the playoffs. So I'm not saying you're initiating all the hard skill. I'm saying you're out there and you're able to deal with it. You're willing to deal with it. Whereas the Leafs right now, they look like a team that has a bunch of soft skill that's not willing to deal with that. And it's not a good thing. And if you talk about coaching, yeah, you could certainly look at Sheldon Keefe's decision-making. Like, what is Ryan Reeves doing out there with 3 minutes left? 3 minutes left in a game. There's 3 minutes left. You're down 3-1 in the hockey game. Is Ryan Reeves going to get you back in the hockey game with 3 minutes to go? What is Ryan Reeves doing on the ice? Right. If I'm a Leaf fan, I mean, I'm chuckling at it because I'm not. But if I'm a Leaf fan, I'm furious right now about Ryan Reeves being out there, particularly after, you know, in this series alone, he's been personally responsible for the opening goal in two of the games.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the other thing, Steve, is there's always, I guess, an upset. Even if the non-favorite team goes up 3-1.
Right.
Okay. That someone does come back from 3-1, you know, whether it's this round or the next one, it's like nothing ever goes where all the favorites whip through the playoffs, you know, and get to where they're going to go. Something's going to bust, right? Are the Rangers going to fall? Doubt it. Is Carolina? Doubt it. Vegas is looking like they may roll over Dallas, but fuck, who knows, man.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home in the Ottawa area, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. And did you know, Glenn is a massive sports fan and he's running a new contest. It's very easy. Just go to glennwalton.com, send Glenn a message, and tell him what your favorite sports memory is for a chance to win a $200 gift card to any store or restaurant in the city. And in our next episode, Jim and I'll give our favorite sports memories of all time. And go through some of the better responses as well. GlennWalton.com to get in on the contest.
The other one, Stevie, is the Cool series. I was talking to someone the other day, a buddy of mine, who's big knowledgeable. He's like, I don't know if we picked Vancouver, right? I don't know if they have it. I'm not sure they can really do this. But anyway, Vancouver wins yesterday, Steve, 2-1, and they had 12 shots on net.
Eesh.
Yeah. So they're up 2-1. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, they're tied
not
at 1.
Not a fun time if you walk into the dressing room going, we lost a game, they got 12 shots, and we got fucking 30 or 40.
Yeah.
Good goaltending, though, Stevie. Good goaltending.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Always say that.
This just in. Goaltending, defense.
Good goaltending. That's what I say, Jimmy. Get the segue, Stevie.
Absolutely. Bob Cole, one of the greats, passing away at, I guess, at the age of 90, I think it was. And he passed away, I guess, on Wednesday night. So this is our first time to have had a chance to talk about it. I think I'm sure people who are listening right now have heard the many stories, your pal Wayne Gretzky chiming in on it on Hockey Night in Canada with Ron McLean and talking about what Bob Cole meant to him. Sidney Crosby had a long thing about it. I mean, he did, you know, he did touch all of us. The reference I've used to this stage is Ken Dryden always said that the golden age of hockey is whoever was playing when you were 10 years old. And for most people, that golden age was tied right to Bob Cole's voice, like your first pair of skates.
Right.
And people have talked about how they watch hockey games when there is no play-by-play. I think it was the guy from Great Big Sea, Alan Doyle, said this. He said, when I'm watching like minor hockey games or a junior game, when I'm there in person and there's nobody doing the play-by-play, obviously, Bob Cole's still going through my head. So that's the level of impact that he's had on Canadians, and certainly be missed passing away last week.
Yeah, I knew Bob, and I've got some personal stories about Bob. I'll tell you my favorite. My favorite story about Bob Cole was I have two nephews. My ex-wife's Allison's brother, Dane, was killed tragically in a plane crash. Mm-hmm. And at a young age, he was in his 40s. And, you know, that left this widow, Kathy, with these two kids. And they were massive hockey fans. Mm-hmm. Massive hockey fans. They were thankfully young enough that if I'm saying this the right way, that they, you know, they seemed to rebound from it. You know, they were kind of 7-8 years old when this happened, that their father got killed. And so I was, you know, it was just horrible, right? It was a horrible story. It was tragic. And so I was close to these kids because I knew a bunch of the Oilers and stuff like that. And they were wide eyed, you know, about hockey. And there was a training camp in town. Actually, it was in Toronto, like a World Cup or World Championships or something. And Catherine told me she was taking the boys to one of the games. She bought airfare and tickets and stuff. And off we went. And I met them at the Air Canada Center saying, look, I can probably, you know, I can maybe go to a practice or something like that, you know. And I couldn't overpromise, you know. Anyway. The kids did. They, you know, Catherine was a wreck, trying to figure out her life and what to do. And it was horrible. And we went to the thing there and Bob Cole was there. Mm-hmm. And I was talking. He's like, hey, Jimmy, how are you? Good to see you. Which was always impressed that he remembered my name. So how's it going, Jimmy? Right. And I ended up telling him through some tears with Catherine that this is what had happened. And she's, you know, trying to struggle her way through this and do whatever she can for these kids. And, you know, so I told Bob the story. Okay. In a flash, Stevie, in 1 second, he said, where are they? And I said, they're just right here. Right. Right. Who, what's their names? You know, Steve. And he grabbed them. He said, boys, I'm Bob Cole. Come with me. And he fucking went right down the stairs, right through the security guy, right into the locker room. With the two kids, and it was just one of the most beautiful gestures I had ever seen, you know, with a guy who didn't have to, but it was, and that's kind of almost real time, you know, when I talk about that. So he was a beautiful guy, He was a beautiful guy, and I've always remembered that. You know, you and I will remember him from when the Olympic team won the gold.
Salt Lake City. We were doing a show,
and it was like, who the hell's he calling? Who's he calling when Wayne was at center ice? Everyone knows that story. And I got a very funny story about it. So I got to know Bob because I was at all these events, right? And Bob was always a mainstay at a lot of these charity stuff I did around the country. And we were down east. And it was that golf event where Wayne and Mario and Brett Hall played. Mike Weir in an event. And so we all flew down there, and I was going to do some stuff. And anyway, we all arrived at the airport at the same time. John Davidson was there, and myself, and I don't put myself in their circles, but that's who it was. And Bob Cole was sitting in the front of the van, and I'm in the back of the van, and we're driving along. We're in Halifax, and we're driving along, and everyone's talking and having fun. And Bob's, you know, that cadence that Bob has on TV was the same he had in person. You know, how are you, Jimmy? Good to see you, buddy. You know, that same deal. And so we're driving along, and Bob's like, what are you doing here, Jim? I said, well, I'm going to do some shtick, Bob, on, you know, tomorrow night or something, or I'm going to auction off some stuff. Yada, yada. Good stuff, Jimmy. Always good. Always good to see you. Great to be a part of it, huh? And he unrolls his window. And he horks out of the window, okay? And it fucking, my window was open in the back, and it comes flying into my window, okay, all over my chest.
Oh.
Like splat, Bob Cole spit. Oh, and I'm sitting beside John Davidson, and John, and JD's going, Jesus Christ, you know? And he's giving me the, don't fuck Jimmy, don't say anything. Don't, like, he worked with Bob, you know? And I went, Jesus, Bob. What the hell? Oh my God, pal! You know, if you is that the is, have you never spit before? There's enough spit. JD's looking at me, going, "Shut it down, dude! You don't know Bob, the other side of Bob." I'm like, "Holy cripes, Bobby! It's everywhere!" You know, oh my God, it's again. He's going, "All right, Jim, that's enough. That's enough out of you, Jim. Always the funny guy. A guy makes a bit of a mistake, and you got to come at him, right?" And he wasn't fucking around. And it was like, so, anyway.
Surely, Jim, that's got to be it.
That's got to be enough, yeah. So, yeah. And numerous other times where I met him, and he was always, he loved doing that stuff for people at these events.
Yeah.
You know, he was iconic for sure, but he was always at all these events I was at. There was always a kid or two trailing him, or some father who had a program that he wanted to get autographed, and he always made it his main deal to do it, these things, to make these people's not only a gesture, but was it life altering for some of them? It sure was at the time, you know, but
yeah,
he's an absolutely beautiful guy, Bob Cole. He was a wonderful, wonderful guy. By the way, Stevie, what a lot of people don't know, if you look him up, he was a fanatic curler too. Like he's got a big history in curling for the Maritimes, but. Anyway, well,
not just history. Went to the Briar twice for Newfoundland, skipping Newfoundland for 2 years in the Briar. So a world-class curler. But I was going to say, if you get a chance, check out CBC or I think it's Hockey Night in Canada's Twitter account, because they've posted Tim Thompson's video edit of the greatest moments of Bob Cole. Right? These are unbelievable calls with unbelievable moments in NHL history. Like literally taking you back to childhood. And I was very close to shedding a tear watching the whole thing because I was astounded at how many unbelievable NHL moments that guy was connected to. And I'll be the same. You know, you told a story that, you know, talks about Bob Cole not being this, you know, God, not being this perfect person or anything like that. And certainly that would apply to his play-by-play. Like there were moments where he drove people crazy because certainly in the last 20 years, like he was an older man in the last 20 years of his career. So he would sometimes muck up names. Like the Sens fans that I know would always have the same take, like, oh my God, do you have the roster in front of you? Or like you kept saying, here comes the Ottawa guy down the way.
Right,
the
right.
Ottawa guy, what do you... But the way I liken it is, yeah, okay, let's liken it to like music. Bob Cole would occasionally mess up the lyrics, but you never cared because you loved the instrument and you loved the music every single time.
Oh, what a great way. Yeah, good analogy. Yeah, great analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, if you know, you missed out if you didn't get a chance to meet him. But of course, you know, not everyone can meet the guy, but he was just a beautiful, beautiful guy. Couldn't do enough for people.
Yeah.
And I know that personally. You know, I know it personally. So
good stuff.
Rest in peace, Bobby.
And that's a nice place to end the program with a sky point to the great Bob Cole. We appreciate you being here today. Don't forget our website is stevewproject.com, and we shall talk to you in our next episode.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.